This is the Seahawkers Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Schultz, and we are just days away from the 2023 NFL Draft. And joining me to help preview the draft is Joe DeLeon. He is the college football and NFL draft analyst for the Believe Network, a former long snapper for the University of Rhode Island Rams, where he was a two-time CAA Football Commissioner's Academic Honor Roll member. And as we talked about previously, also a two-time penalty recipient for
I'm
unnecessary
surprised
roughness.
You remember that.
Absolutely. I will always associate that with you, Joe.
Well, I'm glad that that's the takeaway. And honestly, I would love to pump that out more because it's just such a funny random fact. But always excited to talk draft and to get ready for the Seahawks. They're an exciting position having two picks in this first round.
They are. But I get kind of worried because, you know, if there were normal teams ahead of the Seahawks, I feel like we could kind of project who was going to be available at number five, that I could almost, you know, just pencil in that player and call it good. But there are teams ahead of them. And there's a reason why some bad teams stay bad is because they do weird things around draft time, right? And so I think of the Texans and, you know, so much of it is we've been talking quarterback to the Texans all leading up to the draft. And then you start to hear, well, maybe they aren't going to go quarterback. And I can even allow myself to think, well, maybe it would make sense that they don't go quarterback because maybe the one that they really like would go first and they could potentially build on the defensive side of the ball, get a quarterback later on. They have Davis Mills. He's fine. And then, you know, Arizona does weird things too. So how do you see the top of the draft going with some of these teams? Has it changed at all since maybe we talked just a few months ago?
Oh, I think it absolutely has changed. I think that last when we spoke, there wasn't a clear-cut guy to go first overall. And I think that the answer is pretty clearly in front of us. Bryce Young canceled his other visits. And I know that they're trying to be coy here and like, oh, we haven't decided who we want. But they're taking Bryce Young. I really do think that that is solidified to be the pick. And I think the Texans, just from what I heard, they have had qualms and issues with the evaluations of all the different quarterbacks. And it sounds like lately what we've gotten, and it's been a pretty big headline, that they might not take a quarterback. And I think just from all the little tidbits I got throughout the process, just seems like they weren't in love with anyone. Yeah. And they didn't want to rush it. And when you've got a new coach with DeMeco Ryans, that runway is a little bit extended. So if they would much rather wait, maybe they want Drake May or Caleb Williams to be their guy, they can wait. They absolutely can wait. So I think at that two spot, I wouldn't be shocked if that ends up being a defensive tackle in that particular billing. And what that then shifts is who comes up to get a quarterback. Does anyone come up to get a quarterback? And I think that as soon as that pick, that was the biggest question mark, that Texans pick, that is going to set shockwaves for the rest of the draft. And it's going to completely fall apart. Like any expectation for this happens every year. There's always one pick that completely disrupts everything. And then we're just guessing at that point. And I think that second spot is going to be that spot.
So if you're saying defensive tackle to the Texans, I would presume you're talking about Jalen Carter.
Well, defensive end, I think, is probably the priority. Edge is the priority. And the two that I pay the closest attention to is Will Anderson from Alabama. But at the same time, I think Tyree Wilson could very well be the first defensive player selected. We saw this happen last year where there's more talented guys than Kayvon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson, but the NFL fell in love with Trayvon Walker. Big, strong guy, plays well against the run, powerful, hasn't really filled out to his full potential, but it's all there. We all see it there. And these NFL teams are so hubristic. They think these coaching staffs think that they can develop these guys into great, talented players. So I think that the Texans, not saying that they're hubristic, might approach this and say, let's go with Tyree Wilson, who's strong, got great length, just doesn't necessarily have the consistent production of hitting home and getting a lot of sacks.
And if that were to happen, then you're talking about Jalen Carter getting pushed down, Will Anderson getting pushed down, and maybe could you even project a scenario where either or both of those guys are available at number five to the Seahawks?
I think it's very likely that at least one of them is going to be available. For them to be both, I think, is also certainly possible, because this is what I mean by all the dominoes starting to fall in the hodgepodge of of craziness starting to pick up that we could have here. Because what ultimately happens is if somebody trades up to three to take their quarterback goes at four, both those guys could be on the table for the Seahawks, which is such a dang luxury. And I've been saying this, I've done a lot of different shows so far this week. And one of the things that has gotten brought up is like the Seahawks are just like one of those teams that the rich gets richer. You know, they were a playoff team last year. They've got the right pieces. It's a young roster that looks really good. They're a little bit away from hitting home and getting where they need to be. And man, just imagine Jalen Carter or Will Anderson in that defense. That could be scary.
Now, there could also be the scenario where, man, we've talked quarterbacks all the way leading up to the draft. And I remember last year, you know, we talked a lot of quarterbacks and then nobody came off the board until late with Kenny Pickett. And then some of the other guys, it was third round. And I'm not saying that any of the guys would end up going that late in particular, but you know, what if we see a run on defensive players at 2, 3, 4, and then at 5? Now, personally, I would like to see the Seahawks trade back if there were another team looking up to get quarterback and the number 2 quarterback was still on the board at number 5. But I don't know. Make the case to me. Would you go quarterback or would you take the 4th best defensive player to put on that Seahawks defense?
I've really debated this throughout the whole process, and this is a young team, but it's got a lot of really good pieces that work well with what is successful in Seattle. So for them to go defense, it's let's build on the success from last year. Geno got the job done. We paid him for a couple of years. If we want to address quarterback, let's wait until the end of that contract and the length of that contract that we've given that buffer for. There's a little more certainty there. There's at least a commitment to him. And I think that them doing that answers that question, like 60% of that question. But I think it's at least worth having that conversation, because if you're at 5, don't trade up. I don't think this is a team that needs to trade up to go get somebody. But if 3 of the quarterbacks are still on the board there at 5, or 2 of the quarterbacks are still there and you really like one of them, don't hesitate. If CJ Stroud's there and you're a big fan of CJ Stroud, pull the trigger on one of these guys. They are also in a very advantageous spot where they can select an Anthony Richardson, let him sit for a couple of years, let Geno finish his contract, and then he could take over as the starter because he is somebody who needs time. But I lean them taking a defensive player just for the sake of them appearing to be in a bit of a win now mode.
Yeah, and that's the problem I have with the quarterback argument, especially with Richardson. Like, why sit a guy for a couple of years when you can take one of the top defenders and have a guy who could have an impact on the team immediately?
Well, that's what, like, in my head, I think of that through and I'm like, that makes so much sense. But at the same time, it's if you expect to have a good roster and to compete for the division, you were blessed with this pick because of the Russell Wilson trade.
Yeah.
You're likely not going to be picking anywhere near here and being able to have your choice of a quarterback possibly for a very long time. You sometimes, like, that's what's going to really factor into this is, Do we not pass up on this chance that we might miss out on for a couple of years and get that figured out? Because it's almost a freebie pick because of what they got from the Broncos.
So if the first 3 defenders that we talked about are off the board, who would you put next for the Seahawks? Would you go defensive line still and take the next best defensive line, or would you explore maybe an option at corner?
I think with all of that edge talent in the class, it's hard to pass up on one of these guys. And I think it's just a matter of best fit and then also preference. Tyree Wilson, we've talked about. Will Anderson, we've talked about. But Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, rather, very talented player, explosive athlete. I think Miles Murphy from Clemson feels like a Seattle Seahawk to me. He's got that in him. Brian Brzee is a defensive tackle who's somebody who maybe that piques their interest. But I think going corner is also a pick to consider there. I just don't know if there's a guy who fits with what they look for in a corner for the Seahawks. We know that they love those Tariq Woolens, and I think that they might be thinking to themselves, like, let's wait a little bit. Maybe we can get Julius Brents a little bit later on, who is 6'4" and massive and long and a great athlete. But Christian Gonzalez kind of fits that description of being 6'1" and a good athlete. And we know at Seattle, if they want a guy, and he might be not worth being picked as high as they're slotted as being picked by everyone else, they'll take that guy regardless. I wouldn't take Christian Gonzalez that high, but it certainly possible knowing their track record.
It does seem odd to project a corner to Seattle just because the earliest they've taken a corner is the third round in the Pete Carroll era. They always just seem to find guys. Yeah. But then, you know, last year they brought in Sauce Gardner for a top 30 visit. This year they brought in Devin Witherspoon for a top 30 visit. So it's not like you just bring those guys in just to send out smoke, I suppose, is one thing that you could do. But I think there's got to be more of a reason to bring in some of those guys that if you decide that you absolutely are in love with a player like that. I don't know. Witherspoon seems like a guy to me. Joey Porter seems like a guy to me that I could get behind as a Seahawk.
I think Joey Porter makes a lot of sense for that second Seahawks pick. Absolutely. Yeah. Like that would make so much sense to me for what we're talking about here. It's just tall, long corners. And I think that a tall, grabby guy like Joey Porter, like that feels like a Seattle Seahawk. That feels like a guy who could be a Seattle Seahawk because he fits that description of great length. I think his arms are like 35 inches or something crazy like that. So, you know, we might end up getting him as a Seahawk. And I think this is a really great name to pay attention to.
Well, on the interior, one of the things that they've done this free agency period is release a lot of guys who played on that defensive interior. Now they did get Jones from Denver. They brought back Jaron Reed, but it does feel like they could use more help on the interior. So whether I know you mentioned Brzee is one of the top picks, that there's some projections that say he might be available later in the first round, but who are some of the other guys, you know, especially with that late in the first round, early second round, that you would look to really, you know, a guy who can just stop the run would be great, but you know, with a little bit of pass rush upside, like you've talked about with Brzee, that would be all right too.
Yeah. I think that particularly with these defensive tackles, knowing what Michael Bennett did for the Seahawks for a long time, not being like the biggest defensive tackle, being a leaner guy, I think Kalijah Kancey is somebody to pay attention to from Pitt. Really undersized, really weird physical profile at 6'1", 6 foot-ish, 280 pounds, is so strong, so low to the ground, hard to keep up with because he is so low to the ground. Now he gets displaced easily because of the size and length issues. But I think in a creative defensive scheme like Seattle's, he's somebody who could produce. He's somebody who could be highly productive as that second Seahawks pick. I absolutely think that he is somebody would be worth monitoring. But to answer that question, I think Kalijah Kancey is definitely somebody who comes to mind.
Linebacker is another spot where I think they could use some help. They did bring back Bobby Wagner. They've said that Jordan Brooks could be available by the start of the season. They don't have a lot of depth there, though. And with Bobby Wagner being on the verge of retirement, this could be his last season. Who are some of the top linebackers that you would like maybe in the first couple rounds?
I'm not too excited about a lot of these linebackers in this class to go in the first round. The one guy that I love the most is Trenton Simpson from Clemson. Really good athlete. He flies all over the field. He is somebody who I think could be a really high level outside linebacker. Has just shown so many great things, especially his instincts going in the middle to the end of the first round. I'm also a really big fan of Drew Sanders from Arkansas. Tall, long kid, was formerly an edge rusher at Alabama, a top-rated recruit, transferred to Arkansas. His length, his pass rush ability, and his just demeanor, he's an aggressive, aggressive guy. I think that he's going to be a great off-ball linebacker. And then just to throw out a few others, Jack Campbell has been somebody who I think is a great day two pick. A little bit of a throwback to the, you know, what we used to see from Mike linebackers being like 6'4", 240, and just smacking dudes from B gap to B gap. And he might be a really good Mike linebacker to pay attention to. Another guy that just feels like a Seahawk. And the last one, Noah Sewell from Oregon, bulkier player. He leaned out for the NFL combine a bit. He's playing around 260. I think he was around like 245 at the combine, but he is another player with former five-star recruit that I think you could plug him in. Just a bull in a China shop type of a player.
Well, I saw out on Twitter, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Quandre Diggs has been our unofficial general manager or maybe our official Twitter general manager for the Seahawks this offseason. And he says best player in the draft, Joe, Bijan Robinson. Now, it might be a bit of a homer pick because he is a University of Texas grad, but he may also be correct.
I don't disagree with him. I would put Jalen Carter ahead of him, but to put him top three, no, I don't think that's a crazy take to have. The guy is just well put together. He checks every box that you want for a running back in the NFL. He's got good hands. He's a strong route runner. Great leg drive. Powerful lower body. His explosiveness, his cuts, does not lose any speed on his cuts. I really think that, and it's tough for Bijan, where he might go to a team that is going to pick him that's not ready to compete and is going to think, this is going to solve all of our problems. And he's not. And then we're going to be frustrated by his production early on. But if he goes to someone like the Eagles, like the Cowboys, like the Chargers, that have a good offensive line, good receivers, they're already playing in the and competing in the playoffs. Seahawks might be one of those teams. We know that they love to run the football. He's somebody who can be a 1,500-yard rusher in his first year. Like, it's not a ridiculous statement to make, because he's just that good and he's that ready to make that much of an impact.
I'm a running back fan, so I would be excited about it, but I'm also excited about Ken Walker on the team. So I've made the case. I've tried to, Joe, saying that you could put both these guys in the backfield and you have extra depth. But then, you know, I get hammered for saying that we have bigger needs on the team than picking up a second running back.
Well, I mean, you can't go wrong. And I think that if it was 1995, everyone would be on board and everybody would be like, yeah, that's two running backs is great. The more running backs, the merrier. But because it's 2023, it's like, okay, is this a receiving back? And maybe if you drafted like Deuce Vaughn or Jahmyr Gibbs or one of these guys that's like a really good receiver, Tyjae Spears later on, you could talk your fan base into it. But with those early picks, the priority is going to be filling out that defensive line, maybe offensive line, just athletes on the defensive side of the football overall in order to get over the hump and to win more playoff games.
Well, if anybody gives me a hard time and they actually do draft him, I will send them Quandre Diggs way and they can take their opinions up with him, because he did call him the best player in the draft. But they could use some additional help on offense in terms of pass catchers, whether it's tight end, whether it's wide receiver. A wide receiver three would look awfully nice. A wide receiver three that can return punts, because I feel like they haven't had a guy who can be just a playmaker on special teams. I could be happy with one of those guys too, especially with their first four picks.
Yeah, and I think that if we're looking to fill that wide receiver three spot that does return kicks, the two that come to mind that could fit a little bit later on, Parker Washington from Penn State, elusive, great footwork, explosive athlete. And then Tank Dell has been a little bit of a darling throughout this process. Some people think he's like this early second round pick. I don't think he's there. He's 165 pounds. I'm not going to draft a guy that early.
He's named Tank, though, so I think that adds 10 pounds.
It's one of the most ironic nicknames, I will say, in this draft class. But a good football player, good returner, good vision. And I think as somebody to add into the mix as a third receiver in the third or fourth round, absolutely pull the trigger. I think he could fit that for this Seahawks roster.
All right. Well, where do we go next? I feel like we've covered a lot of the positions in a short amount of time, but you know, we talked about quarterback at the top with some of the top guys. Let's say they pass on quarterback for the first five. Who are some of the guys? I have a hard time thinking that the Seahawks are going to go another draft without taking somebody. You know, obviously they had an option to take Brock Purdy, you know, at anywhere in the last half of last year's draft, and they passed on that. But who are some of the guys outside of the top five that maybe John Schneider should look at?
Well, for quarterback, this class is not exciting outside of those top guys, admittedly.
We weren't talking Brock Purdy a whole lot last year either.
Well, I admittedly have my own thoughts on Purdy as being a long-term answer.
And I was pounding the table for Sam Howell, but that didn't happen, and he ends up going to Washington. So
I would have rather Sam Howell over Brock Purdy as a sleeper guy. But this class is not sexy. After we get outside the top five, after you get past Hendon Hooker, there's a pretty significant drop-off, to be completely honest. I think if we were to pinpoint one guy that could kind of fit that, Jake Haener from Fresno State, he has been somebody who's been strong throughout this process, good Senior Bowl, good combine, high-level backup. That's what he feels like to me. And if he's got to step in and play some games, I think he's got it in him. You know, if he can be Case Keenum, that's a huge plus to his career. Somebody who might fit a little bit more of the style for a mobile quarterback, if they want that in their back pocket, Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA is somebody who I think is worth acknowledging. Has some limitations as a thrower, but is a good athlete. And I think the teams that value having an athletic backup are going to draft him higher than I think he's capable of being drafted. But those are really the only two that I'm willing to acknowledge. There's just so many massive question marks that I'm not willing to take those guys as potential long-term starters or developmental guys as their capabilities.
All right. Well, before you get on out of here, I'm going to ask you to comment on someone else's mock draft, because ESPN's Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. released their, what I expect is their final mock draft. And usually I look at this to decide who's not going to go to Seattle. Like, they have Jalen Carter going to him at five. I could see that happening. It just always works out that the guys that they pick to Seattle, they never seem to happen. One guy who we just talked about earlier, Lucas Van Ness, they have him going to the Bucks at number 19, right before Seattle picks. And so at number 20, a guy who we haven't talked about yet, Nolan Smith.
I think that Nolan Smith's a sneaky pick to watch there. And he's tough in the sense where I don't really know where he's going to fall. I think he makes sense as a first round pick. He runs a really good 40 time. The injury that he suffered is going to obviously raise some red flags of what his availability is going to be like. The thing that I get held up with him is that he's such a good athlete. He's so fast, and he ran around everyone. That was why he was succeeding. He ran around and passed everybody. He doesn't have the production for a guy that for 3 years is a contributor on the Georgia team. I think it's like 7.5 sacks, something along those lines. I think is the number off the top of my head. To not have the production and to be that talented, I'm very careful, very, very careful on those guys. But as just a rotational secondary option to add into the mix, good athlete. And if anyone's going to figure it out, it's going to be that Seattle coaching staff to figure out how you can get them to contribute.
Well, we have Brandon Jordan, who they brought in the offseason, who's supposed to be, gee whiz, pass rush instructor. So I almost expect him to take guys at the pass rush just because they put that focus on in the offseason.
Totally. No, and Nolan Smith is one of those guys who you coach him up, you tap into that athleticism, could be a really dang good football player.
He's Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network. Also got a great YouTube channel that you guys have been breaking down the top five guys at each position. And you wrapped that up here this week, didn't you?
Yeah, we just put out our quarterbacks was the last one. We've got a mock draft that either is dropping tomorrow or on Monday with Matt Sims, who's our third co-host on that. But been a long cycle, and things are coming to a conclusion this upcoming weekend.
Well, if folks want to check out your additional work, where do they go?
Hack City on YouTube, or The First Team, which is the name of the pod feed. Anywhere you can find a podcast, it's just The First Team NFL Draft College Football Show, if you want to type that in, folks. And appreciate anyone who does take the time to subscribe.
Well, really want to thank you for coming on. Really looking forward to this week. We're going to be doing some live draft coverage as well. So definitely be sure and subscribe to that YouTube channel so you can check out Joe's stuff. You can check out our stuff, because it is going to be a busy week with the NFL draft. And I think with that, there's only one thing left to say. Go Hawks.